from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, it's the best day of the week. Happy Thursday, everybody. A happy Thursday to you listening on ESPN 1320. Maybe also those of you on the free Odyssey app, thank you everybody on Twitch and YouTube, youtube.com/ESPN1320. If you would like to come hang out in the chatty house, please do. Everybody's welcome. This is one big family here on the Insiders. I'm Kyle Madsen. That guy right there is James Hamm. James, welcome to the finest day of the week. How was your birthday evening? I know you said you weren't going to have like a crazy big birthday bash.
No, it was good. We went out to dinner with some friends.
Great.
And then we went back to their house and watched Survivor, and that was crazy and wild. And
what a fun time.
Yeah, we had
that's
a good
my
time.
Ideal evening. Dinner out and then vibing at the crib.
Yeah, I may have like taken a nap. Like, sorry, fell asleep on your couch, and then I woke up and like watched
during Survivor. You fell asleep?
No, before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think we need to normalize that. Normalize napping in other people's houses.
I like to nap.
No, I'm a big nap guy.
Like, especially because of the shift here and because I'm a late night guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't work NBA games for, you know, 14 years and then all of a sudden you got to wake up early every morning. And so my clock now wakes me up at 6 o'clock in the morning, which is not when I would ever wake up. So
yeah, then, you were probably before this, you were probably like a 9 or 10 a.m. guy.
Yeah, it was usually during the off season. I'd wait until 8:39 every day to wait to actually like wake up and get up.
Yeah.
But yeah, now it's like I'm up really early. But now I'm like in the middle of the day. I'm just exhausted. Like I need a nap. I need a siesta.
That midday nap is so cash. I've gotten very lucky because I have friends who are in the vein of when they nap, it's hours.
Mm.
And I'm good at like 10, 15 minutes. Little power nap. That's all I need. If I'm gonna go nap for multiple hours, it becomes a real problem for me. Bless you. It becomes a real problem for me through the rest of the day because then I'm groggy and then I gotta wake up again and then I have trouble sleeping. So hit me with that power nap.
Mm.
Sometimes I'll get home. Same deal. It just sometimes the week catches up with you, and about Wednesday, Thursday, I'm like, yeah, I need a nap today. If I lay down at 3:30, I set the alarm for like 3:50. Gives me a few minutes to go to sleep, a few minutes to sleep. Usually wake up a little before the alarm. It's the best.
All right.
I wake up feeling good. Hell yeah.
I like it.
Shout out to naps. Normalize nap time, particularly in other people's homes.
Yeah, I want graham crackers and apple juice sitting there waiting when I wake up.
I'm not saying I need a bed at the house. I don't need anything crazy like that, but hey, I'm going to go sit on the couch for a while. I'm going to go sit in the other room. I'm going to just put my head down for a minute.
Okay.
That's all I need.
I'm one of those people that can sleep at any time, anywhere.
Yeah,
like, same. I could literally just fall asleep right here.
I would love... Well, don't do that.
Well,
that'd be awkward for me.
It would be awkward, especially when I wake up.
Welcome to the Insiders. James is asleep.
102.5 is going, and I slept for like... Yeah. I'm Rip Van Winkle over here. And like, is he dead?
Don't sleep here.
He's just sleeping.
Yeah, no, please don't sleep here. Sleeping on planes. If you're a sleep anywhere person, sleeping on planes is such a huge advantage to long
huge.
Flights.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Massive. Anyways, we're going to talk about sports. The NFL schedule came out yesterday. We'll have a bunch of NBA playoff stuff, and we're going to do some fun Kings offseason stuff as we really start to ramp up our coverage of that. But the NFL schedule came out yesterday. The 49ers have 6 primetime games. The Raiders have just 1 primetime game. That is Monday Night Football against the Falcons in Week 15. They do have a Black Friday game, though,
mm-hmm.
against the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. That is a noon kickoff in Week 13. The 49ers, their 6 primetime games. They have 2 on Thursday Night Football.
Okay.
So 2 Thursday Night games. 1 in Week 6 against the Seahawks and 1 in Week 15 against the Rams. We have the 2 Sunday night games against the Cowboys and the Bills in weeks 8 and 13. And then the 2 Monday night games are week 1 against the Jets and week 17 against the Lions.
Okay, so lots of primetime.
Six primetime games, which is maxed out. As
including many as the Black Friday game?
The Black Friday game is the Raiders.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, that's at the Chiefs in week 13 for Las Vegas. The 49ers game against the Chiefs is not on primetime. That's a regular-ass kickoff.
Wow.
It makes sense. Everybody, the Chiefs have kicked the hell out of the Niners every time they've played them.
Yeah, but it's still like the matchup.
Is it?
Well, regular season Chiefs versus regular season Niners is usually...
The Chiefs smoked them in 2018, beat them in the Super Bowl in 2019, okay. Smoked them in 2021. 2022. Smoked him in 2022. Christian McCaffrey's first game.
Oh.
Beat him again in the Super Bowl. Like, nah. All right.
A little tough.
Gotta know how that's gonna go.
A little tough.
The big thing with the Niners, though, is they face 4 teams coming off of bye weeks. The Raiders face just 1 team coming off of bye. The 4 teams the Niners face coming off bye weeks. Kansas City in week 7 coming off their bye. Dallas in week 8 coming off their bye. Seattle in week 11 coming off their bye. And Buffalo in week 13 coming off their bye.
Mm.
Yikes.
I don't think Buffalo's going to be very good, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, Buffalo's going to be, whether they're a contender in the AFC, I think they will be because Josh Allen is that effective. But yeah, they lost a lot of pieces. That's going to take a heck of a coaching job by Sean McDermott.
Yeah, I don't know who he's going to throw to. That's a problem. Valdez Scantling.
Maybe they run it more.
I guess.
I don't know.
When do the Niners? Who do the Niners play after their own bye?
They play Tampa Bay in Week 10 at Tampa Bay. So it's one of their 2 10 a.m. kickoffs.
Okay.
Their first one is in Week 2 at Minnesota, and then their second one is after their bye week. So if you're gonna have early kicks early in the season in Week 2, and then although that's a tight turnaround from Monday night to a Sunday morning in Minnesota. So that's not super advantageous, but it's how the schedule goes. And then if you're going to have your bye week, having all that time to ramp up and rest and then go play a 10 a.m. game in Florida is...
Okay.
There's worse outcomes, but this is the second year in a row the 49ers have faced 4 teams coming off of bye weeks. Last year, I believe the man who wrote this, his name's Brian Burke for ESPN. I might have that name incorrect now that I'm looking at it, but he has the rest differential.
Yes.
For every team since 2002. And rest differential is the difference in days off between a team and their opponent. So in week 2 or in week 1, the Niners play on Monday, the Vikings play on Sunday. In week 2, the 49ers face the Vikings on a Sunday. So the Niners are a -1 rest differential because they played Monday, whereas the Vikings played Sunday. So that's kind of how it works. Last year, the Niners had the 6th worst rest differential since 2002.
Okay.
They had the 6th worst rest differential at -20. This year, it's worse. It's the 3rd worst rest differential since 2002 at -22. And this is not to say it's an excuse. Like, that's what I posted this on the internet yesterday, and people, oh, Niner fans already making excuses. It's not. Because they last year they lost to Cleveland when Cleveland was coming out of their bye week. Cleveland just beat the heck out of the Niners. That had nothing to do with the bye week. It was the Bengals in week 8 coming off their bye. The Bengals just kicked the hell out of the Niners. That had nothing to do with the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
In week 10, the Niners were also coming off their bye when they went to Jacksonville. And then the Cardinals in whatever that was, week 14 or 15, were coming off their bye and the Niners beat the heck out of them. Like, these are just things you have to overcome. My question is, take the 49ers out of this. With the way the NFL does their scheduling, it's not just, there's like data and algorithms and different projections and things they use to put these things together. It's not just randos just going like, oh, let's put this game here and this game here. I just don't know how this happens to a team 2 years in a row. That's tough. That's a bad break. That's a bad beat.
Yeah, I get it, but we're talking about one of the best teams in football, and I think most of the time you see with the best teams in football, they don't worry about it.
Yep.
Right?
That's it.
You just have to play the schedule in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, for years I dealt with Sacramento Kings schedule being the worst schedule, mm-hmm. if not the worst, one of the worst in the NBA, right? Mm-hmm. I remember Zach Randolph walked in and he said, "What the bleep is with this schedule?" And it's like, well, man, you're used to playing in the middle of the country where you're just like short flights and stuff.
Right.
But, you know, even this last season, the Kings making a last minute 2 weeks left in the season trip to New York.
Crazy.
Was just ridiculous.
Really weird.
Like a 3-game stretch where what they play? They played the Knicks and then the Celtics on back to back and then Brooklyn, the Nets, and then fly home. That's not good.
It was almost like the schedule makers got to the end and were like, oops, oh shoot, we forgot to put their East Coast trip in there. Just throw it there.
Well, but the problem is they already had multiple East Coast trips.
I know.
So as opposed to making one long 6-game mm-hmm. East Coast trip or 2-5 East Coast trips, that's not what they did. It didn't make any sense.
Very
and it
weird.
Was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I mean, you're just putting unnecessary mileage on players. And you know what happens in those situations? It's what you're kind of pointing to with the NFL. What happens in those situations is players get hurt. Like the travel, the exhaustion, the wear and tear on the body, it's real. And so that's, you're just increasing the possibility for injury in those situations. And that's something that I always point to is like, hey, look, the league can do whatever they want with their schedule,
mm-hmm.
but they should in the back of their mind keep like competitive fairness and player safety in mind.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, for sure, I think that's probably more a problem for the teams who have a bye week in like week 4. Like that's tough.
Yeah.
Because then you're playing, see, week 4, so there's, 14 weeks left after that?
Mm.
You're playing 14 consecutive games? That's
hard. Tough. Yeah.
But the Niners have their bye in week 9. It's middle of the year. It's just... Again, my concern is less that like you have to go win your games. The Niners are supposed to be one of the best teams in the league. Rest differential, it didn't matter last year. They were still the number one seed. It certainly shouldn't matter this year.
I kind of feel like if the NFL wants to expand the schedule, which they do, they want to expand the schedule
it's
again.
I bet they get to like 20 games in our lifetime.
Okay. Why not just add another bye week?
They have to. They're going to have to. At 18 games, you have to.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why not do it now. Like, again, it's about player safety, and you still, what that gives you is it still gives you the whole, an extra week of football,
mm-hmm.
right? It
mm-hmm.
just pushes everything out a week, and so I'm just like, I'm waiting for the moment where they understand that, like, player rest is actually, like, almost an emergency situation mm-hmm. for them.
Yeah.
I mean, think of what it would do for even concussions. Like, giving an extra week of rest to players who have been beat up, whether they have a full-blown concussion or, like, are on the borderline of a concussion.
Yeah.
Then they go out and get another one. Yeah, it's just, man, I don't know.
Overall, rest differential aside, pretty favorable schedule for the Niners.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. If they go to 18 games, you got to go to 2 bye weeks. We could do a whole show on NFL scheduling stuff. We're not going to. But that's how things shook out for San Francisco and for Las Vegas. The big thing with the Raiders, they have a week 10 bye sandwiched between games at Cincinnati. They get their bye week and then they're at Miami. That's a tough couple of games. But getting those split up by a bye week is a pretty big deal instead of having to go Cincinnati, Miami back-to-back weeks.
Mm.
Yeah. So let's shift gears. Let's talk NBA playoffs. The Celtics are moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. The Mavs dominated last night, and James and I are going to start trying to put together like a real list of players the Kings can pursue this offseason. We're taking a look. We're going to go each day. We're going to look at a different division, and we're going to look at the teams in those divisions and players who are either free agents or could be available for trade that the Kings could pursue, and we're going to divide them into different levels too. That's coming up, so stay tuned for all of that. NBA playoffs, NBA offseason, a little more NFL schedule stuff, plenty coming up on the Insiders. We're hanging out with you until noon, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
916-909-1320. If you want to join the show, 916-909-1320. We do not have a call screener, so your call is going to ring and ring until we pick it up. So have some patience. If you do call in, I promise we will do our best to get to you. Let's talk about the NBA playoffs, where real whirlwind couple of days for Ben Affleck. His Celtics crushed the Cavaliers, a very shorthanded Cavaliers team. No Caris LeVert, no Donovan Mitchell, no Jared Allen. So his C's move on, but according to a report that I just saw on the internet, J-Lo and Ben Affleck have broken up again.
Oh, that's tragic.
Just a real bummer for you Bennifer fans.
Are they married this time or no?
Couldn't tell you.
I don't
know. It said broken up, not divorced.
Oh.
I don't know. Anyways, I need to... I'm overthinking the Celtics thing. You know, I've come in here like six times during this run and been like, yeah, I don't know what to make of this. I don't know. Are they... Look, here's the bottom line. The Celtics are cruising through the Eastern Conference playoffs right now. Cruising. Against the teams that, A, made the playoffs in the Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm.
And then, B, won a playoff series in the Cleveland Cavaliers. They were playing the teams in front of them and rolling them. What do we always say when a good team kicks the heck out of a bad team? It's like, that's what good teams do. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Celtics are doing. You're not realistically going to go win every NBA game by 30, particularly when you play in the playoffs. It is really hard to win a game by that many points, especially when you're seeing a team 3, 4, 5, 6 nights in a row. So where I'm landing on all of this is that informs their not struggles, but the fact that they've had some weird kind of off games against much lesser teams than them, because I do hold them in a really high regard. That just informs my opinion of when they get to the finals, because I think they're going to. But the bottom line is, if they win a title this year, if they hoist banner number 18 or 19 or whatever number it's going to be, then that's what it is. It's not like we're going to put a caveat or an asterisk or go, oh, but they played the Cavs with a bunch of people hurt. They were going to beat the Cavs anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been dramatically overthinking it. The Celtics are really freaking good, and they're going to have a good series in the finals, and they are still definitely in the mix to win it.
Here would be my counterpoint.
Okay.
I think that by playing a Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heat team in round one, and Jared Allen, and then Donovan Mitchell, and then Caris LeVert-less Cavs team in round two, I don't think anyone who's going to make it through, whether it's the Knicks, which is probably going to be the Knicks, or the Pacers, I don't think either one of them they're going to be a speed bump. But I'm worried that, like, it's not that they haven't faced adversity. It's that their entire season has been a coast. I mean, they beat the Eastern Conference by 14 games.
Mm-hmm.
So you got over in the Western Conference this battle between Minnesota and Denver where, you know, it's a chess match, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have this battle between the Dallas Mavericks and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Sure.
And again, that's been a chess match. The next round, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be a chess match. And while that's happening, you got the Celtics over here playing checkers.
Sure.
And sure, checkers can be complicated. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have like the 6 jump move where you, but they're really, it's not chess, right? And so I'm slightly concerned that when they get to the end number one, they should be really, really healthy. They haven't even had to play Kristaps Porzingis. I know he's out, but they haven't even had to worry about that. But then they're going to get to the finals, and it's going to be like, okay, well, who have you beat? And I know that that's you play the teams that are in front of you, but there's value in beating teams that are tough, that are going to give you a fight. And I think maybe the Knicks will at least give them a fight, but I also worry that they're going to get to the finals and face, like, you know, battle-tested Warriors, and they're going to be guys who've...
The Warriors are out.
Yeah, exactly. But they're going to be guys that haven't really played a whole lot of highly competitive basketball.
Well, but that's what I was saying. That will inform who I think is going to win the finals.
Yeah.
But I've seen... There's that usual... And again, a lot of it is internet stuff. But this idea that somehow their run is cheapened because it's... Oh, it was the Jimmy Butler-less Heat team, and then Donovan Mitchell didn't play the last two games. Jared Allen didn't play in the second round. Oh, in the third round, Jalen Brunson's banged up, and OG Anunoby's hurt. And it's just none of that matters.
No,
and it definitely, like you said, I still need to see Boston do it in the finals. I still need to see them go perform on that stage and do the things they need to do to win four out of those seven games, but. It's not like if they do that, it's going to be like, oh, well, how good are the Celtics? Really? Like, they're the NBA champions.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what their path there looked like. And like you said, maybe it does come back to bite them in the finals. Maybe they do coast into the finals and they get smacked up in the first couple of games because they just weren't ready for it. But I've just been dramatically overthinking it. The Celtics are
way better.
The best. Yes. Yes. Jimmy Butler and the Heat, they were beating Jimmy Butler and the Heat.
The 14 games that they beat the Eastern Conference by is a very good representative sample of who they are.
Realistically, yes. Yes, exactly.
It is.
That's it.
Yeah, they're really good, and they're going to stomp people, and they're going to be in the finals. That's this what we've been saying all season long.
Yep.
I don't think there's... And even if they lose another player, I still don't think that it's enough to set
They're
them back.
So good. Brad Stevens, the man.
Yeah, he built a winner there for sure.
He sure did. The other game last night, 104-92, the Mavericks beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. Bro, I really enjoyed watching Luka play basketball last night. And that is not a normal thing.
Yeah.
He's typically a very tough watch for me. But last night was just something different. He was outstanding from start to finish.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we talked about this a little bit before we came on the air. He played with a joy.
Yeah.
Like, he was smiling. He was having a good time. And to me, it's a good sign for Dallas, but it's also, that's what you're kind of hoping for from Luka, is like, stop with all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his game itself is very good.
Yes.
Like, I mean, he's one of the best basketball players we've ever seen.
Yes.
Right? But the fact that he brings all this other stuff to it, I almost feel like the NBA changing their foul rules and all that stuff where grifting isn't part of the game right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I'm going to leave that behind. I'm going to leave my B acting behind.
Yes.
And I'm just going to be a baller.
It's great.
And to me, it's almost like release like ultimate version of Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
Where I can appreciate, you can appreciate him, other people can appreciate not just the stats, but the way he's playing, the joy he's playing with. It's like, okay, like maybe that's it. Maybe it's been about angst and frustration and trying to put on an act all the time to try to get fouls. And that's just taking away from what is like realistically, again, one of the great players that we've ever seen.
Yeah, man. It was like last night, some switch flipped, and he went, hey, by the way, I'm the best player in this series, and I'm going to show you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know this isn't what happened, but it was like, oh, you think I can't do this? You think I'm just out here for myself? You think I'm performing in this? Not okay, here, watch. Watch what happens when you want to see me try? Watch what happens when I try. And that was, it was a dominant performance for him. And a 3-2 series lead for the Mavericks heading back to Dallas. 31 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists for Luka last night. Just in control the entire game. We'll talk about what that means, big picture for the Mavs, coming up a little bit later. But I want to shift gears and talk about the Kings offseason. Because I have found a way I think we can put a realistic list of players together without just trying to grab names out of thin air. We're going to go conference by conference, or excuse me, division by division, and take a look at each team and the players on those teams that the Kings might be interested in. We'll explain next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the best day of the week. It's Thursday. That's James. I'm Kyle. I've been talking some NBA playoffs, some NFL schedule release. But let's talk some Kings offseason because, James, we've been doing this and we've been kind of running into the same conversation every time. You and I are on the same page that the Kings need to operate with some urgency. They need to put anything outside of like Domantas Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, and Keegan Murray on the table. We know that Malik Monk is priority A. Mike Brown's contract should be like priority A1.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty clear cut from that standpoint. But the other thing we've done is we've been talking about all these big names. And we keep coming across Brandon Ingram,
mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler, Paul George, and that's kind of the list. There was a report today about a quote-unquote report.
Yep.
and I want to talk about this from a media standpoint, just real quick, and just a like internet literacy standpoint. The report about Jared Allen today,
mm-hmm.
that said the Kings were among the teams, the phrasing was could be interested in
the former All-Star. Yes. The general vibe across the league, according to sources, is that Allen and Garland are the two who could become available for the right price if Mitchell re-signs with the Cavs. While Allen has been linked to the New Orleans Pelicans for a while now, sources tell Write Down Euclid that the Oklahoma City Thunder and Sacramento Kings could be interested in the former All-Star. This is according to Evan Damarel.
Okay, no disrespect to Evan here.
Yep.
By the way, Donovan Mitchell wouldn't be re-signing with the Cavs. He'd be signing an extension. He has 35.4 due next year and then a $37 million player option.
Okay.
So it wouldn't necessarily be re-signing, but anyways. How many times did you just say the word could?
It might have been more than once.
Four, five?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Among the teams who could be interested... if those players could come available, it's just like, yeah, no, could. Give me a report
mm-hmm.
that says the Kings are interested in, the Kings have talked with the Cavs about Jared Allen.
Yes, conversations have been had.
That's what I'm interested in.
Yeah, yeah.
The Kings could be, yeah, you know what? I'm going to confirm that report. The Kings could be interested in Jared Allen or Darius Garland. Or Paul George, or LeBron James, or Steph Curry. They could be interested in all those guys. Hey, if Nikola Jokic comes available, expect the Kings to make a phone call. They could do that.
Yeah.
Cite me.
There it is. According to Kyle Madsen.
So no, this is just, on stuff like that, make sure to check it out carefully. And it's not to say the Kings might, they might be interested in Jared Allen
mm-hmm.
this summer. Maybe they try and swing that deal.
Okay.
But for now, when you're checking that stuff out, don't read too far into it when things like could or might or other caveats are thrown in that heavily.
Yeah, and like, look, we talk about this all the time. Jared Allen is a 26-year-old, you know, like, center. Like, he's a 6'11" center. The couple of problems that we have right away is that he doesn't shoot the three ball at all. For his career, he averages 0.2 attempts per game. He's a very good shot blocker for his career, 1.3 mm-hmm. blocks per game. Like, I really like Jared Allen, and I think the metrics show that Jared Allen is one of the most impactful players that you're going to run across. Mm-hmm. He's quietly impactful.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about guys like Daniel Gafford or Derek Lively that we're watching for Dallas, like, this is just the primo version of, he's just like an elite rim runner. He would be perfect with mm-hmm. Malik Monk as like a lob threat.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is whether or not he can play alongside DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus Sabonis spaces the floor now.
Yeah. DeMontis Sabonis, sorry. And so again, you're looking at a guy who made the All-Star team when he was 23 years old. Like, this is a really, really good player. But whether the Kings are going to push all their assets in on a player like this, I don't know. And I would point out, too, like, his contract is very reasonable. $20 million each year for the next 2 years. Like, if you could get your hands on Jared Allen, that's not the only move that you could make during the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure.
And it makes you better.
Oh, yeah, it does make you better. The question is, how does it fit? How would it look?
Yes.
Can DeMontis Sabonis space the floor, you know, hitting the three ball?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a much better version of Alex Len or Nerlens Noel or, sure. you know, name that player, JaVale McGee.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the better version of. It's the season, well, it's
the
a guy,
all-star caliber version of that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a guy who can almost average 20 and 10
mm-hmm.
in the right situation, but it's more close to like 16 and 8 or maybe even like 15 and 8 as a member of the Sacramento Kings as just like a really, really good role player.
Yeah.
So.
And understands, and I think the thing with Jared Allen specifically,
mm-hmm.
before we move on here, the thing with Jared Allen specifically is he understands and accepts the role that he has, and he's very good at it.
Yes.
Whereas sometimes you see players like that go, hey, I want to be a primary scoring option. Give me the ball. That's what he knows what he is.
Yeah.
And he knows where his bread is buttered.
Well, I would point out, like, $20 million a year for the next 2 years, like, he's super affordable for a player that does what he does.
Yeah.
And sure. You know, this last year he averaged 16.5 and 10.5. He's also he started 77 games, and then all of a sudden we're hearing this, like, the weird rumors. This is why I'm going to say it's possible that Jaren Allen is on the move this offseason.
Sure.
Cuz we're hearing these weird murmurs that his teammates may not have been happy with him because he wouldn't take a shot to see if it would alleviate the pain in his sore ribs. And so we're talking about a guy who plays 77 games during the regular season, hurts his ribs in the playoffs and can't play. And all of a sudden, this can be what we call an exit strategy, where people start to say, well, some of his teammates are a little upset about him. Not. So you're starting to besmirch his good name at this point for a guy who literally played all but five games the entire season.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what it means in the long run, but I definitely, if he's available, like, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. You need good players.
Yeah. Yeah. So I see a bunch of people in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 discussing the Jared Allen fit. I'm going to put a pin in that for a while.
Yeah.
And if it comes down that the Kings are pursuing him, then great. We'll talk fit. I just don't want to have that deep of a conversation about it right now because he could be available. The other caveat in there was for the right price.
For the right price.
FYI, every player in every sport is available for the right price.
Yeah.
Just about. There's some exceptions.
Yeah, there's like a handful of players that, but, like, for the right price.
Yeah, but almost every player is available for the right price.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how many first round picks you offer for Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs aren't trading him. But anyone else in the NFL, probably the right price.
Yeah. If a team called the 49ers today and said, we'll give you our next first five, we'll give you our next five first round picks, and if it was the Vikings and said, here's our next five first round picks and Justin Jefferson, he's available. You know? Anyways. Let's talk Kings offseason.
Yeah.
The non-Jared Allen edition. So what we're going to do is, I was trying to get my arms around how we're going to do this year and through this summer, and how we're going to pick players to point out. And instead of throwing out random players and on the fly trying to figure out what they, you know, what's their contract status, where are they at, how do they fit, we're going to go division by division and team by team each day to figure out, hey, who on that player should the Kings pursue? Are they a free agent? Could they be available via trade? And we're just kind of discuss it that way and try and come up with a list of players that we can work off of as a show and as a family.
Yeah, okay. And I think also, like, we're going to do it with a realistic approach.
To do our very best to do it that way.
Yeah, yes. We're not going to be like, okay, what would it take to get LeBron James to the Sacramento Kings? Like, that's not what we're looking at?
No.
Okay.
Bottom line on that, if LeBron wants to play for the Kings, he will.
Of course.
So that's where that's at.
No, I would agree completely. No,
so when we talk about the Lakers, we're not going to include LeBron James in the conversation. So let's talk Clippers first. Let's stay in LA, but talk about the Clippers.
Okay.
We have, and we're going to go starter. Is this person a starter for the Kings? A bench upgrade, or is it a flyer?
Okay.
Where maybe they're the end of the bench, maybe they're in the rotation. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. It's kind of taking a big swing. What do we have here? We have four players from the Clippers.
Okay.
The first one is Bones Highland. He is a restricted free agent. 1 year and $4.2 million left on his deal. He's a restricted free agent this year, right?
After this year. So you'd have to give up something to get him.
Okay.
Or, again, you could give up a second round pick and accept him into your biannual exception.
Right. Okay. We have Paul George, who has a player option at $50 million.
Yeah, it's 50 something.
Yeah, he will. I think he's going to opt out and sign a extension.
Well, there's a possibility of that.
Right.
Okay.
Mason Plumlee, who's a free agent. Mm-hmm. And then Brandon Boston, who is a free agent.
Yeah, Brandon Boston, he's going to be a restricted free agent. He's played 3 years there, but he's going to be like Gilbert Arenas exception, like, rules. So he's going to be a player that you can't, because he's been there 3 years, they will have some sort of bird rights to him, and he will be some sort of restricted free agent going into the summer.
I see.
But we're also talking about a bit role player who may or may not make it in the NBA.
Yeah, so that would be, so we'll start at the bottom here. Brandon Boston would be a flyer.
Yeah, he's a flyer.
Brandon Boston is a, hey, he's had some flashes in the NBA. You bring him in, he's the body type you're looking for. He's a good athlete.
Yeah.
If he's bad at basketball, it's a low risk move.
Yep.
But I like the upside.
No, totally. And I think when we look at a player like Brandon Boston, you look at him in the same light that you look at like a Kessler Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's young. He hasn't really got a shot. And the reason why he hasn't got a shot is because he plays on a very good team that's mm-hmm. historically good with historically good forwards. And there's just not a lot of opening.
Yep.
But he's got a ton of bounce. He's young. He's athletic. He's somebody who has like a crazy, crazy like wingspan and everything else. So mm-hmm. like he's a type of player, like the mold of players that the Kings have been lacking. Mm-hmm. Whether or not he's good enough or not, we don't know yet. He's 6'6". And three quarters, 6'5" and three quarters. So in shoes, he basically plays at 6'7" with a 6'11" wingspan.
Yeah.
And he's got like crazy bounce. Like
yeah.
He's a nice high flyer.
Yeah. So I love that idea as a flyer. Two bench upgrades here with Bones Highland and Mason Plumlee.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just dramatically overrating Bones Highland. I think he's terrific. And if they're looking for if they wind up having to look for a Malik Monk upgrade, that might be the first place I look.
Yeah, I think that, okay, with Bones, you're going to have you can call Jordy Fernandez and say, hey, like, what did you think of Bones while he was there? So you're going to get an understanding of who he is as a person, his work ethic, all mm-hmm. those things, how much he can improve and all that. He was with them. He was with the Denver Nuggets before he came to the Kings.
Right.
Jordy was. And although he's not here in Sacramento anymore, that doesn't matter. Yeah, this is like a break in case of emergency. If you were to lose Malik Monk, this is on a list of players that we would say, okay, who could possibly replace him? And mm-hmm. no one is going to be a true replacement for Malik.
No doubt.
But Bones at least has like the outline of a player that's very intriguing.
Yeah.
He's got sort of the length and again, the athleticism that you would want.
Mm-hmm.
It's just whether or not he's good enough, whether he can actually fit into it. And a player that barely played this last year. He only played 37 games, 6.9 points per game for the Clippers. But he still averages 10 points a game for his career. So that shows you that he does have a scoring knack.
I think he would be a bucket in the Malik Monk role. Now, can he distribute like that? I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you gave him like, yeah, you are the sixth man. You are going to run the second unit. This is your job. You're going to play 28 minutes a night, 30 minutes a night, whatever it is. I think he could thrive in that role.
No, I think there's a good possibility that he could.
Yeah.
We just don't know because he hasn't, you know. Well, I mean, he has done it. He just hasn't done it for a long stretch.
Paul George, I think, is he would be a starter, but I don't know that you want to go max out a guy who's in his mid-30s.
Yeah. I mean, he's 33, and it's really tough. And there's really no way for the Kings to max out Paul George. Like, we hear Paul George and the Kings. I don't know how you could get that deal done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could trade for him with his one. He could opt in. You could trade mm-hmm. for him. Then you could extend him after he opts in.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still look at that as, like, such a flyer. At $50 million, you're gutting half your team to go get him.
Yeah, I don't. I get the theory.
Mm-hmm.
I get it on paper. Paul George is very good. He'd be in a lesser role with the Kings on a night in, night out basis. Like in theory, yes, but in practice, I don't see it. I don't.
Yeah, I'm with you. And then, you know, the other player we have on that list is Mason Plumlee. Everyone knows
you're a big Mason Plumlee guy.
Well, I like what Mason Plumlee does as a player. So if you look at him in Charlotte, 12.2 points, 9.7 rebounds, but 3.7 assists.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I like Mason Plumlee is because he played in Jay Triano's system in Charlotte and can step right in. And when Sabonis leaves the court, you have a player who can run some of the same stuff, that can make the passes,
mm-hmm.
who is a tough guy, who doesn't mind mixing it up,
mm-hmm.
who can rebound. But again, we're talking about a 34-year-old backup center. It would basically be like him or Alex Len. And Alex Len is is a better rim protector than Mason Plumlee. And maybe I don't know if he's a better defender though. I just think that like continuity wise, that's a player that would fit into your system. So.
Yeah. It'd be fine.
Yeah.
I'm not super moved, but it's not like a downgrade.
No, I think it's probably a bench improvement.
Over Alex Len?
Yeah. I mean, that's where I would kind of look at it. Like,
it feels lateral to me.
Okay, but here's how I look at Alex Len, sure. Right? How many games this year did Mike Brown either go to JaVale McGee or go to Trey Lyles? I mean, Alex Len, what did he play? 45 games? Yeah. I don't have it in front of me. I haven't looked it up, but I'm going to guess that Alex Len played about that. I think Mason Plumlee would be in your rotation from day one and all season long. 48 games for Alex Len.
Yeah, 2.5 points, 2.7 boards, 1 assist.
Yeah, and I don't think that you're going to ever play those two next to each other unless you're playing just like a monstrous team.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think it's, I think it's a player that makes sense.
Okay. We'll do the Suns here before we hit our break. The Suns are interesting. I have no idea what their plan is this offseason.
Mm.
They don't have a lot of flexibility.
Zero.
And maybe you can take some advantage of that and say like, hey, you need to change up your roster. Here's Chris Duarte. give this a shot. We have three players down here for the Suns. We have Royce O'Neal, Bol Bol, and Nasir Little.
Mm-hmm.
Royce O'Neal was a player we talked about a lot for the Kings at the trade deadline. I think that's a nice bench upgrade for you. I don't think he'd start.
I mean, there's a possibility.
Start him at the two and bring Keon off the bench?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's what you're looking at. You're looking at like the more mature version of Keon Ellis. Okay. Like the seasoned veteran version of.
Okay. He's a free agent, yeah?
Yeah, and I don't think he might get more than the veteran minimum, but I don't think it's going to be a lot more. Like, there was a time where he made good money.
Yeah.
But I don't think that anyone is going out there. I mean, maybe you have to carve out an $8 million salary out of your mid-level exception.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that that's what you would do for Royce O'Neal. I mean, we're talking about, he'll be 31 next season. He's, again, strong, physical, doesn't mind mixing it up, average 5 rebounds, which is really nice coming off the bench or starting. I mean, he's a good rebounding guard. He's just not, 2.4 assists per game for his career. He's not like an outstanding playmaker.
Yeah.
But he's a solid 38% shooter from three for his career.
Yeah. Good defender. Yeah.
This is a type of guy that the Kings, if they are going to just bolster the lineup, this is the type of guy who would fit in the top 8 or 9 of your rotation.
Immediately.
Yeah.
I love the Royce O'Neal idea, especially if you're getting him for a few million bucks.
Yeah.
That would be big time. Bol Bol was my pick out of this as a flyer. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Bring in the 7'3" guy, shoot a little bit. I'm in.
Yeah, I totally get that too. He's fun, but I just don't know that he's ever going to be the stats he puts up and the player that he is are like, they don't really match, right? So I think that that's always an issue. And then the guy I like out of here is kind of a quiet one. It's Nasir Little. And Nasir Little, again, we're talking about a 6'6", 6'7" guy with shoes on, with a 7'1" plus wingspan.
Mm-hmm.
He was really, really highly regarded in Portland like 2 years ago, and like almost untouchable.
When you said, I was shocked by that.
Yeah, no, Portland when they were doing their rebuild, it was Anfernee Simons and Nasir Little that they were hoping to build around when they were going to start jettisoning pieces, like when they did the CJ McConnell deal. That's who they were looking to build around, and then Nasir Little got hurt. I think that there's a lot more to his game, and he specs out, we were talking about this earlier, as the same exact player size, maybe a little bit bigger than Moses Moody.
Yeah.
And so he's on a 3-year deal that pays him about $21 million, and that's one of those deals where you could say, hey, we got a $6 million expiring contract. Would you trade it for Nasir Little?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that would be a player that you could build around. Again, length, athleticism is what you're going for, and you hope that you strike gold and a player that was underutilized this last year.
That's the exact kind of move I would love to see the Kings make. Okay. Not that that's going to get them over the hump to where they need to go. But mm-hmm. when you start talking about marginal moves, because we've talked about it ad nauseum, there needs to be some kind of bigger swing than a Nasir Little, Royce O'Neal type of player.
Yes.
But when you talk about Nasir Little, and you're talking about moving, what'd you say, Chris Duarte?
Yeah, so, and I can explain why that might work, but go ahead.
So if you're swapping out Chris Duarte, who you just kind of, okay, you know what that is
mm-hmm.
with your team, and bringing in Nasir Little, where maybe he's the 12th guy on your bench, or maybe he develops nicely and he's your 8th or 9th guy.
Yeah.
And you can spot start him if you need to, and maybe he develops with your team. Like, that's whether it's him or a player like that, I think any player they can target like that they can get on the relative cheap, I'm all for it.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy who just turned 24, who has plenty of NBA experience. He's basically the same age as Keegan Murray.
But 237 games.
So he's got plenty of experience, and he fits the player mold that you need. So maybe he does develop into a long-term starter at the small forward spot.
Sure.
Maybe he doesn't, but you have 3 years to look at him.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why a team like Phoenix might trade a guy like this is because if they took in Chris Duarte, they could do something called stretch provision Chris Duarte. Mm-hmm. They could waive Chris Duarte, pay his salary over, it's twice as many years as a salary plus an extra season. It's twice as many years of his contract plus an extra season. So just think of it this way. He makes $6 million. You could stretch, you could waive him and stretch his salary over 3 years and mm-hmm. then save basically $3 million. You would save more than that off the Nasir Little contract, which is about seven. Chris Duarte would only cost $2 million in this season, and so they would save $5 million in luxury tax and right. cap space, which is going to be a problem for them because they're way over the second apron of the luxury tax, way over. So that $5 million savings right there could end up saving them $25 million or $20 million.
And that's going to be an important thing, too. We'll talk about the Lakers and Warriors after the break, but
yeah.
that's going to be an important thing to keep in mind while we talk about this. Because there's going to be teams that maybe used to be taxpayers that under the new rules, and if you're Golden State or Phoenix, you're looking at your team going like, hey, is this a title team? Is this a team we want to hang out in the second apron for?
Mm-hmm.
Anything they can do to save a couple million dollars is going to matter. So as we go through this, just really try and keep that in mind, and that's something I have to do as well, because you go, why would they ever do that? But it's like, dude, shaving $5 million off of their payroll could save them tens of millions.
And it's $5 million a year off their payroll because, yes. again, Duarte would be stretched over 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
And Nasir Little as a 3-year contract. So it'd be $5 million a year that they would be saving.
Yeah.
And maybe Nasir Little doesn't work out. Maybe he does. Maybe he's part of another trade down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But he's young. He's mm-hmm. got experience. He might be better than the options that you have.
Yeah.
And he might develop into something that's better. So.
Yeah. And that's, again, this is not to say that Nasir Little is going to get the Kings to a championship, but there's two types of move the Kings need to be making. It's that one and then the bigger ones. And there will be bigger names, the Paul George type of names, the Brandon Ingram type of names. We'll hit all those as well.
Okay.
But that's not going to be the only thing Sacramento's looking to do this offseason. At least
totally.
It better not be. They're going to be in a tough spot. All right, we got the Warriors and Lakers to get to. A few fun names off of both of those teams that could help the Kings. We'll have good idea or bad idea coming up. And then we're going to debut a new segment where James explains certain aspects of the salary cap to me like I'm five.
Okay.
We'll dive into that all coming up in the second hour on ESPN 1320 Sacramento's Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen.
Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.